Hey, producers, welcome back to the show. Today we're hanging out. I wanted to share a little bit about stock market investing and some basics and retirement accounts and things like that. Disclaimer, this is not financial advice, and I'm not an accountant. So you need to be able to double check with them before you do that. Also, lasting 100 years as a company and some principles that Stevens pulled from those who have done it. So we'll dive into that. But you guys know we've got incredible partners. These partners are with us every single week. These partners are helping the industry and investing in the space too. So we're happy with them. We really push them and push you guys to work with them as well. And the first up that we talk about actually here is Stalls. First up, remember this code, HUSTLER20. Why? Because that gets you 20% off your next DTF transfer order. If you're ready to take your custom apparel to the next level, Stalls is the leader in heat printing solutions. Whether you're a small business just starting out or an established brand that's scaling, Stalls makes the hustle easy. I think maybe just as important, they do a lot of really cool in-person events. I know they just hosted another print-on-demand event that a lot of that Screen Print Mag said was sold out, and they tour the SF1 facility. So really, really cool to learn and meet a ton of people in your similar space. So you check them out. Go to the website and check out those events and products.
Sweet. Bruce, if you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you can hit up GraphicSource. GraphicSource offers industry-leading outsource options for your shop by truly becoming a part of your team. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management software when it comes to SEPs, mockups, creative art, order management, embroidery, digitizing, back office, and customer service. There's no better company in our industry to work with. They have over 40 years in the game, and they really understand shop needs. They have a proven track record of success. You can hit up graphicsource.com, and you can let them know it's your first time working with them. They'll give you 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order. What's cool is we just scaled up a couple artists from GraphicSource because we're getting busy, so they can ramp and scale with you. Thanks so much, GraphicSource. We really appreciate you.
That's actually really cool. Easy Way is launching. Actually, they're not launching. They've had this program, but you need to make sure to put in your email because they are giving away $250 product credit every single month. And why not easy snag to be able to get it? Easy Way's monthly giveaway is to their amazing customers. You go to easyway.com/giveaway. Easy Way makes reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with their systems, chemicals, and equipment. So check them out. Not only that, they've got a ton of great resources. The team is incredible to be able to help you. Incredible products and distributors as well. They work with like 100 plus different distribution channels. So really, really big, awesome company. I saw you commented too, Stephen, on your favorite chemicals.
701, 842. Let's go.
All right. We'll jump on in. Good morning.
Hello.
We had a slight hiccup on scheduling, guest reschedule, so we'll have him coming up whenever, hopefully next week. But anyway, I had some stuff I wanted to talk about. I think you had a couple of things too.
Yeah, I had a couple of things. What do you got, Bruce?
Sure, I can kick off, but that means I'm blowing through my two, so because they're kind of related. And it's all about investing, and it's sort of related. And I'm not talking about investing in your shop. I'm talking about once you take money out, what to do with it and how are you slowly investing every year and where to put it. Now, huge disclaimer, obviously, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not an accountant, I'm not a tax, whatever. So, talk to the professionals as well. I just want to lay some basic ground rules down to be able to help. Because I've had this conversation with a couple different shop owners actually about stock market stuff, investing stuff, retirement stuff, and all of that goodness. So the first place I want to start at is 401ks. And then we're going to get to just general investing. So 401ks, retirement accounts. These retirement accounts are essentially brokerage, stock market, you could call it investing accounts, but there are some other tax advantages that we'll talk about too. Now, before we get too deep, I did want to share a little bit about the rule of 72. Have you heard of the rule of 72?
No.
Okay. Rule 72 is a formula, a rough formula for how long it takes an investment to double, financial investment that compounds over time. Now, by compound, I mean that let's say you generate 10% interest on $10,000 in year one. In year two, you're starting with now the interest, which is 1,000 plus the principal, which was 10. So now you have 11,000 that you're starting with to go add 10%, which is 1,100. And then that's called compounding. It adds up over and over and over, and it grows not linearly. It grows a bit of an exponential curve. But the rule of 72 is important here, and I'll explain it, but I wanted to preface why we're going to talk about rule of 72. So what it is, the formula is you do 72 divided by the interest rate, and that is the number of years for the investment to double. Okay. The what's called S&P 500, which is, you know, some of the 500 top performing companies, public companies in the U.S., has an average return usually over a long period of time around 10%. A 10% return, if you use the rule of 72, you do 72 then divided by 10, gets you roughly 7.2 years, roughly 7 years for that investment to double. So you put 100 grand into that, at 10% roughly return every year, you get out 200 grand in roughly 7 years. If it's 5%, you just do 72 divided by 5, and that gets you about 14 years. Okay, that's, I'm going to preface that again because I'm going to bring it up again later. I think there are two types of 401ks that are important to talk about. There's actually quite a bit, and you can research this, ask chat, whatever, it'll be able to help you. What I have done in the past to make it easier is pay attention to these two. Now, it really depends on if you have employees or not. If you're a solo person, you're a solo guy, solo girl, you actually have a lot more advantage. So when you get started, as much cash that you can shovel away in these things is amazing. The first product is called a solo 401k. You could find this at a Fidelity, at Vanguard, you know, any of these online brokerage types of websites. Vanguard is a great place to start. In 2026, you could put away up to $72,000 a year if you have no employees into a solo 401k. Okay, what does that mean? Like, where does the money go? It's just going into a brokerage account, and that it gets invested into, you can pick, like a very popular one on Vanguard is called VTI. Total Stock Market Fund, Index Fund. And literally what it does is Vanguard as a company will take that money and spread it out pretty evenly across a bunch of different sectors and categories of businesses and, you know, roughly earns 10% annually. That's really good for you not doing anything. Not only that, it's liquid, as in, you know, not in a 401k, you can't sell it. You'll get penalized if you sell it early, but it is like floating and it's not like locked up as in a building or in a physical asset of sorts.
So Bruce, I'm going to stop you right there. It's a 401k. So it's an investment. It's like a retirement account.
Correct. These are retirement accounts. Again, there's tons of different types of retirement accounts.
This one, you can put up to $72,000 in, and there's no penalty to taking it out.
No. There are penalties. You don't want to take this out before retirement age.
50. Okay. So 401. So there is a penalty if you were to pull this. So this isn't just like an investment account. This is a 401k account.
You can get loans on it and some of the stuff. I don't know the details of that. But the game plan is just you sock away as much as you can into it.
This is if you are a solopreneur with no employees.
Correct. This is just the solo.
And talk to us about the tax implications here. Let's just say you are a solopreneur. You don't pay yourself as an employee. You just take whatever profit at the end of the year. And say you have 100 grand of profit that you made to your name. If you shove $72,000 into that 401k, is your taxable income now $30,000? Or
yeah, it can be. I'm going to actually, let me share one thing and then I want to talk about that. There are two routes, as I mentioned. One is if you're a solo guy, you're running your own thing, no employees. The other one is if you do have employees. If you do have employees, there's actually a lot more regulations to it. Like, I wouldn't really mess with this on your own. I would go to a company called Guideline.com or whoever you're doing your payroll through. They will have some sort of help, you know, walk through tutorial thing for retirement accounts. And because what you have to do is, like, whatever you offer yourself, you have to offer matching for your employees and all this stuff. There's things called ERISA compliance rules, and it's actually pretty complicated. Let them be able to handle that for you. So those are the two routes, but still important because it allows you to have the benefits as well. And then if your employees want to use it, they can. It's a great benefit for them to attract people. Okay, back to your question. There are two main big types of these 401ks. One's called a traditional, one is called a Roth 401k. The traditional one is the one you're talking about. It reduces taxable income. Again, disclaimer, not an accountant. So there are limits, there are caps and everything like that, but it does reduce your taxable income. But when you retire one day, that is when you pay tax on the appreciated gains. So remember, let's say you are able to sock away $500,000 over time into this traditional 401k. Incredible. Rule of 72, let's say you have what's called a big time horizon. Let's say you're 30 years old, you won't retire for another 35 years. If the rule of 72 is 10% a year, roughly, that is, you've doubled that amount roughly four times. So that's incredible, right? So now you're at $2 million in your brokerage account because you added $500,000, you contributed to that over X amount of time. You do have to pay tax on the appreciated gains then. Long-term capital gains in that. The other type of 401k is called a Roth 401k. This is very interesting, especially if you have a long time horizon before you're retiring, because it's after-tax contribution, which means, yeah, you pay all your taxes, and then you take whatever you like, and you contribute it into the account. The appreciation and the gains over time are non-taxable. So imagine we had that same example, the $500,000 going to $2 million. You do not pay tax on the $1.5 million gain. That is incredible. So if you've got the long time horizon, that is a huge, huge tax advantage. And that's really why I think, you know, getting to the Roth 401k is actually the better option than using the deduction up front. All right, hopefully that clarified it. There's a lot of like random words and stuff in there.
Bruce, let's just say you own a company, but you don't offer this for your employees. You can't offer this yet. What would you fall in? You would just like do your own traditional 401k. Like, I'm not ready to offer this to my employees yet. I can't work with Principal or Guideline or one of those companies. Like, Gusto helps us do all this stuff. Let's just start with the shop owner right now that is listening to this, that's saying like, I'm not doing anything for my 401k. What should I do?
Yeah, great question. So when you have employees, the rules get complicated in terms of what you can do for yourself. You can't just set aside. I think there's individual 401ks. There's all these other products potentially in there. That's a great question though. But the rules, the compliance rules and legal rules get very complicated because you're supposed to be able to offer a product to your employees as well that you contribute to.
But you could just go get your own one in the open market, right? Like, you don't have to.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I don't know the exact one for that. I just remember we had to convert over once we started hiring people to have one with a plan. Now, you do not have to offer a matching product. So a match is when you have employees. Sometimes employees will offer a retirement account match. What that means is you pick a percentage. Usually it's like 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%, whatever it is. And the contribution up to that percent of their annual income, you will match dollar for dollar. And so it's a nice little benefit that you can be able to offer and attract employees. Do you have to do a match? No, you can just offer the ability for employees to be able to sock away cash themselves, like you said, into a 401k type of their choice.
Gotcha.
Again, how do I set this up? How do you look into it? What's the next steps? Go to guideline.com. Whoever you're doing payroll through, look at them, QuickBooks. They will have products like this to be able to help you be able to get it started. I just think it's so important because the sooner you do it, the more that rule of 72 kicks in and gives you a bigger return later, right? The more you can just watch your money work for you and continue to be able to grow on the side. This is not a quick win scheme. This is a long-term 10, 20 plus years that can be able to help you with retirement later.
This is low and slow. And the longer you wait, the more dangerous it gets. And it's one of those things where like, you should not continue to procrastinate and put this off.
To be able to get tax-free appreciation on an account like a Roth IRA, the Roth 401k, and then don't pay taxes when you retire, whatever the retirement age, 65 or whatever, is unbelievable.
What if people aren't making money?
I mean, that's a great question. This is only for if you've got extra funds and you're like, what should I do with this? And it's sitting in a savings or a checking account and it earns 2-3% when inflation is 2-3%, which basically means it earns nothing. This is where you have a lot more advantage to add a percentage to it.
I think that regardless of if you're making money or not, you're obviously paying yourself. You should start putting away something. Because I think there's also a habit that starts to get formed and you start to get disciplined in it. And when you can start to like, I don't want to say hide money, but like if it's $100 a week, fine. $100 totally. A week, fine.
That's profit first. It's literally the same thing with profit first, but for your personal account, which you talked about too. You love using Mercury, the Mercury bank account.
Yeah, yeah. But like I started, there's a really good book called I'll Teach You to Be Rich. Have you read this? Ramit Sethi's? He's also got a YouTube thing.
Oh, yes. I have read it. Yes.
He starts with the premise of like credit and short-term investing, long-term investing. You know, people are always asking, like, what are you doing in the stock market? I don't play in the stock market. I am too impulsive to mess with the stock market and choose stocks and do that kind of stuff. So instead, my investment is automated and untouched. I will never, like, I just never touch it. And I think whether it's your 401k, whether it's your Roth, you just want to put stuff in motion and try to forget it. And even if it's $50 a week or $100 a week or $200 a week, I don't think it really matters. You just want to start. And there's a really good tool, Bruce. Have you heard of Wealthfront? I think it might be owned by Vanguard.
I have heard of Wealthfront.
It almost can actually operate as a bank account too. And it diversifies the portfolio for you. It does all those different things. It like connects all your products together. And it's a tool that I started using like 10 years ago. And whenever it hits a certain point and like they'll start to charge a fee, I'll just like move it over into like another investment account. But it's just like this habit. Doesn't really matter what it is. And this is where like, are you a Warren Buffett fan?
Talk about this. A little bit. I had never read any of the Buffett books, but
no, me neither.
I hear the cliche statements about him.
Where like Jeff Bezos asked him like, why don't other people just copy your investment principles? And he's like, because no one wants to get rich slow. And that's like, gosh, there's a lot of truth to that. But low and slow investing is how you get pretty rich over time.
So wealthfront.com, I'm glad you mentioned that. An incredible way to get started too with this stuff. Now I wanted to just share, again, this is not financial advice, but I did want to share, if you're just brand new to, let's call it stock market stuff, I mentioned something called VTI. It's an index fund. You can learn more about what index funds are, but it's just a collection of different companies, public companies. VTI, Total Stock Market Index Fund, and it includes all these different sectors inside of it. Now, there are tons of these. There are more conservative ones. There are more risk-taking ones that you can get into. There are more sector-based ones. If you love the energy thing, or if you love environmental thing, or if you love technology thing, you know, but just this is an overall, this has 3,500 and something different public companies underneath it. And you're just buying this and they manage it. And it costs very little. It costs like 0.03%. You could check out what the latest fees are, but 0.03% of what you put in there. So it's virtually, you know, nothing for them to be able to do this for you. Now, why do I mention that? Because my second point to all of this is under the investing bucket. So we talked about retirement investing. Let's say you maybe have maxed out the retirement accounts that you can, or you just want to do something simpler, a little simpler. Wealthfront, an incredible way to get started with that. Yes, I do not pick individual companies either. I think that's a losing game. I think it's just like going to a casino virtually, and because you have just as much of a chance guessing red or black as you do what this company is going to do and how that's going to affect the public price, in my opinion. So let's say you've got extra cash. And you're trying to figure out again what to do with it. You don't want to do the retirement account, or you max out the retirement account. This rule of 72 comes up again. So just by putting away the $1,000 a month, the $500 a month, every single month, very continuously, just like a profit first methodology, you're able to utilize that rule of 72 in the compounding interest to be able to have a safety net, a good retirement account one day. Does it go up and down? Does it swing? Does it have bad years? Does it have good years? Of course, it goes through all of that stuff. But when we think about long-term, when we think about reflection, we've talked about this, I think, last episode, you know, are you wanting to be putting in insane hours in your 50 or your 60? No, you want to be able to have a really good nest egg for you to be able to step back and or take cash that you can either sell the business or do whatever you want and have a great life later. So use these tools. They have what's called calculators to be able to help create balanced portfolios. It's slow and steady. At Wealthfront, they have this, and at Vanguard, they have this, and they're to Fidelity, they have this. These are really great tools to be able to help you get started with investing. Download it, sign up for it, get started, and set it up on the automatic investment to continue going from there. And hopefully that's a great way to get started. And 10 years later, you know, you'll be able to hopefully look back and say, wow, I should have gotten started with this earlier. I don't think there's ever a person that said, I wish I would have started doing this stuff later. It's always, I should have started it in college. I should have started as soon with my summer job. So that is retirement accounts, investing, a high level thing for owners. Hopefully that helps you guys make some a little bit better financial decisions. And I know, Steven, you're sending me a doc of some stuff. What kind of stuff were you thinking about?
Bruce, I want to switch gears a little bit. And I wanted to talk about some fascinating businesses that are right under our noses that we experience every single day and what is special about them. I spent Sunday, went to the movies, and then I went to Panda Express. Have you seen The Odyssey yet?
It's on my list. It's a little tricky, the baby and stuff, because 4 hours.
Yeah.
But it looks amazing. Was it great?
It was nuts. It was super good. And the way it was filmed.
You're supposed to do the IMAX thing?
I did IMAX. Didn't have 70 millimeter in Champagne, but it was intense. It was really loud.
I've heard that too. It's like,
yeah, it was really loud.
It's like, I can't even go to loud restaurants now. So
you're like, huh? Yeah. Anyways, I went to Panda Express. Which I don't, when's the last time you had Panda Express?
I get it every time I go to the airport, actually.
It's great airport. Okay, perfect, right? Like, go to the movies, went to Panda Express, go to the airport, get Panda Express. Did you know that Panda Express is privately owned completely?
Yeah, family, husband and wife, I believe, owns it.
It is a really, 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 really fascinating business. The founders, they started in like 1973. And it's Andrew Cheung, and his wife Peggy. And it is a low and slow business that they've just grown over time. I think they have something like, gosh, what do they say? 2,700 restaurants. And I think they do like 6 billion, 2,600 stores, $6 billion. And every store is not franchised. It's owned by the like headquarters.
They own every store. Yeah.
Yeah. And by doing it, they have so much control over their quality, their product, their menus, like their training. And it's just like, it's a very, very fascinating and very, very interesting business. And I was like, huh. I didn't really know this about Panda Express. Did you know anything about them?
I've heard similar stories and extremely impressive. I think the most impressive thing is when a company can outlast competition for that long. I mean, if you think about a 60-year, cycle, let's say, you've gone through internet age. You've gone through all kinds of crazy political and economic events. You're able to, I'm sure there's cash crunches, all kinds of different challenges. And they were able to survive that long. I mean, how many businesses have made it ups and downs? It kind of reminds me, I don't know if you got this email, but Luke, we should have him on about this, but Luke at ColorTex said that he was throwing a 100-year party in Canada for his shop. And I was like, 100 years. We'll have to talk more about it later. But I mean, can you imagine being in business that long? Similar to Stalls, or very impressive.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, you probably hear about Costco all the time, right? But it's like the membership alone in Costco, I think, brings in $6 billion a year. And he's like, okay, we're going to have this membership. We're going to try and sell products below, like, everything is about savings. Every pallet has to be pickable. And we're just going to, like, our North Star is going to be how to save people as much money as possible. And it's hot dogs, good gas, but we're going to make money on this membership thing. And so, like, I would kind of ask the question of, like, if your company's logo was stripped away, what would people know you for?
Know you or the company?
What would people know the company for? Right. And so it's like, if you took Costco's logo off their building, or you took Panda Express's off, or Chipotle's, how would people describe what you're about? What's your thing?
Interesting. In terms of the customer experience that you give or whatever you deliver.
Yeah, like what is it? So, like, let's take one for example. If we were to look at Patagonia, right? Mm-hmm. What are they known for?
To me, it's longer lasting, higher quality apparel.
Yeah, it's something that's durable. It's something that's sustainable. It's something that, they're going to fix if something goes wrong. It's outdoorsy, right? And so it's like there's something behind the brand that people can connect with. And you're like, oh, it's a Patagonia. Or like, what about like Yeti cooler?
Expensive insulated mugs.
Expensive insulated mugs. Like, it's luxury. That cooler's not going to break. It's going to be built tough. Do you even know what a Yeti cooler costs?
I think it was because I looked one up. I thought it was $300, but I've carried one, extremely heavy for some reason.
And so that's where I just think, like, finding these businesses that have a reputation beyond, beyond what their logo says is like something you should be thinking about as a business owner. Like, let's think about convenience stores. Like, have you been to a Buc-ee's?
Yeah, when we did our little road trip, we drove from California to Illinois. We stopped at a couple Buc-ee's.
Do you know what their founder was obsessed with?
What's that? Clean bathrooms, wasn't it?
Clean bathrooms. He believed that if the bathrooms were spotless, people would trust everything else. And that was his North Star. Just a gas station, right? And so I really think, like, Raising Cane's, it's just chicken fingers, right? And it's like, what's the common thread in your business? What do people know you for? I was asking myself that question. I'm like, what would people know Campus Inc. for? What would people know the NIL store for? And it was like hard for me to put my hard. I would say a lot of things, but it'd be like, what are they known for? You know,
did it make you think about what did you want it to be known for? Because it seems like the companies you've brought up also my recollection of them is a simple aspect. So, right. You talk about Buc-ee's, clean bathroom, right? Panda Express, it's just very consistent to be able to grab chicken noodles or whatever. Like it's like eight things or whatever. And they've just done that, it seems like, for 60 something years. Chipotle, I guess I'm not sure what the Costco thing is, but the other ones are, they did something sort of simple for the longest period of time. Maybe even like a Stalls too. I mean, it's not overly, they have tons and tons and tons of product offerings, but you know, the heat press and the heat transfer stuff. I mean, they literally started in 1932 with hand cut felt, like lettering. And that was, you know, it's not strayed too different from their origin almost 100 years later.
But I do think there's some companies in our industry that if you were to take their logo off, they do have like a reputation. For instance, Supacolor. They're going to answer fast, ship fast, and you're going to get products quick. And they're going to fix if there's any issues, right? And they're just going to be really good at that, right? Stalls, it's name and numbers. Boom. It's the name and number company, you know? It's the heat press.
Did that resonate at all with Campus Inc., with how the kind of one sentence aspect to it? Or do you think it's still in progress?
I think it's just getting me to think about it. I think to your point, a lot of the companies that have excelled get really good at doing one thing, right? And I start to applaud different companies in our space, right? Like Family Industries, incredible at experiential marketing, merch marketing, like experiential on demand, you know, like that's their thing. And you almost envy that a little bit. You're like, damn, you guys are really good at this one thing and you crush it. And so I think that it was just like a really, really good thought exercise to like look at these big businesses and be like, what's that one thing that they have?
When do you think you start to focus? Like, because, you know, when you get started, you really, I feel like, have to take and do all kinds of stuff to you know, grab some type of market share and customers and build some loyalty and everything. But there's a common question that comes up, which is, okay, am I doing too much? Do I need to do more, or do I need to do less? And maybe when is that? And maybe you could look back from your, because you, I mean, from when you started with Campus Inc. to today is a huge change.
Right. We keep going back to this core. My leadership team and I have been like talking about this a little bit. Like, what are we really, really good at? Because we're trying to build out this like private label brand right now that's going to sell into bookstores. And I'm learning like it's completely different than a lot of the other stuff we do. We're trying to just like widen our footprint in retail. But what we realized we're like really good at is like we're really good at managing Shopify's for other brands. Other licensed brands like piggybacking off of them. We're not great at inventing our own, but we're really good at extending someone else's. So like Sigma Chi's, boom, athletes, right? We just launched this ESPN thing. And so we're good at taking something that's already existing and it kind of accelerating it and sort of being in the backcourt of it versus trying to build something from nothing. And so that's what our team has been kind of like, ooh, maybe that's our like, that's actually what the sweet spot is. So this is something that I've been spending a lot of time thinking about.
Do you think for you know, most shops obviously don't go out and fundraise and go down such a rapid growth path. If you could put that part aside, do you think there would have been a point where you could have said, hey, we're just going to do this like at, I don't know, $1 million a year or $5 million a year, $10 million a year. Like, was there a point where, or no, I mean, you know, you kind of rode the wave of different growth areas, right? The NIL stuff came on, you hopped on it. Before it was the e-com, you know, growth, you hopped on it. Before it was like really diving into the Greek system and the student, you know, sales, you hopped on it. So you rode the waves.
It's definitely what I try to see is what is my through line. My through line is that I've been on Shopify since 2014. That's like something that has stayed very, very consistent. Like, I don't know if you know this. I started a website called shirtcheckout.com. It was group ordering made simple.
That's a great domain.
I don't think I still have it anymore. I think I let it up.
All the domains that you buy now.
Yeah, I've like
the domains that you had before.
But it was like, okay, why don't I crack online stores? Because I want to simplify the ordering process for fraternities and sororities. Okay, why don't I teach students how to help me do this? Why don't I do this all on Shopify? We obviously use Printavo merging soft, like the different things. But then it was like, okay, how do we actually now help a massive national fraternity work on the internet? Okay, how do we help athletes work on the internet selling apparel? Okay, how do we actually help ESPN plus athletes? How do we help this conference? Right. And so like we are an aid to extending people through like the Shopify ecosystem a little bit, through merchandise. And so that's where, as we're starting to take some bets, whether we're like, you know, okay, how does ESPN, how is that any different than Sigma Chi? What are the differences, or is the stage just different? So that's what we're trying to find. Like, what is our through line, or what is very common between all of them? And so like, what do I want people, if our logo went away, it's like, oh, those guys are Shopify nuts, you know, when it comes to the merch space. Maybe that's it.
Interesting. Can you share more what this ESPN thing is? I saw you post a lot about it. I didn't know what the...
Oh, we became a licensed partner with ESPN, so we can use all of their marks. And we can pair school marks with ESPN marks. We can pair athlete marks with ESPN marks. And so we are going to hopefully be touring with ESPN. Our products are going to be sold on their website. ESPN branded products are going to be sold to bookstores like Dick's Sporting Goods and different retailers. And we are going to be helping them on some of their Shopify stuff that they already have. But essentially taking, you know, the sports stage, taking their brand and logos and, pairing them with school marks and stuff like that. So no different than anything we've done in the Greek system or with athletes, just kind of different ingredients, all put together. So we're releasing these pretty wicked designs that are coming out in like 3 weeks. That I'm excited for. So yeah, that's the ESPN thing. Yeah. So this is good, man. It's good catch up. Invest and have a reputation. Good pod.
Love it. All right, pronouncers. We'll see you guys in the next week's episode. Have a great one. Bye. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications, and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.